once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight, and it is not Jack Stogler tonight. I don't know if anybody saw his pictures on Facebook today, but he's out doing dune buggies or some stupid stuff out west. And
finally retired, right? Is that why?
For the seventh time, yes, and I think seventh and final time. Every time I turn around, he's got retirement pictures, and then 2 months later, he's retiring again. So I think this one is final.
This is the real one.
I think he's finally gotten through the part-time and the part-time with this, and maybe I'll come in and help you a little while with this. And I think he's finally done, except if you know him very well, he's not going to keep his nose out of it. He'll stop by the office and make sure everything's going the way it should. He doesn't want to just leave somebody out there with no idea what's going on. So tonight we have high school principal Tony Stahl and elementary principal Kelly Toby. How are you guys tonight?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Doing well. Thanks for being having us on tonight.
So we're going to cover all kinds of school stuff and see what's going on and see what's new. And we'll have call-ins, and we want everybody to call in and criticize them. No, just call, just kidding.
We can take it. We'll just schedule a day off for tomorrow. Yeah. We'll put it in now.
Wouldn't be very many legitimate criticisms anyway. I think things are going very, very well. Let's just go real quick and before we take a break. Tony, anything new and exciting going on in the high school or anything coming up real shortly?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, always something at the high school, that's for sure. There's never a shortage of things going on. We definitely have kind of getting into this, the new part of the basically halftime, I would call it, of the coming off from Christmas break. It's a big scheduling season for us. So we like to get, you know, it's hard to believe we're about halfway through the school year, a little over halfway through the school year with the second semester starting on Monday. But we already start to switch a lot of our focus to scheduling for next year. And so towards the end of January, we start to meet. I know Mrs. Kaiser, our guidance counselor, does a nice job of going out and meeting with students and getting them ready to be scheduled for next year. But that's a little bit more complicated than the high school. You know, obviously we have our regular period courses that we offer in the high school, but then you also have to a lot of different programs like TriStar, College Credit Plus registration, things like that, that kind of go into that, you know, different factors of every individual kid's schedule, egg co-ops, things like that. So it's a little bit more complicated. So we start in right now we start kind of talking about some stuff. And then in late January, we have those conversations. And then in February, we start to schedule kids and then hopefully be done with that for next year. So really kind of living in two worlds right now. So it's definitely busy with the day-to-day of this year. Yeah. And also you're trying to think and plan for a smooth next year too. So that's kind of what immediately is going on right now.
I guess without ever having been in that world, I don't even think about January scheduling for September.
It seems
odd, but seems like it's going the way it's supposed to. So.
Sure. Well, and there's a lot of factors, too, because we do share some staff at the other building with the elementary and middle school. And so those things, you know, staffing numbers and looking at class sizes and the courses that we're offering from year to year. And some of that is tweaked and changed depending on the needs. And and so there's a lot of different factors that go into it. So it's really, we have a lot of conversations, Kelly and Ryan Steinbrenner, the middle school principal, always talking about, you know, things that we're looking at for next year, but right now. So you're always kind of living in, like I said, it's two worlds. It's hard to balance sometimes because if you want to make changes for next year, you got to start talking about it right now.
And so, Kelly, anything new, exciting that you want to just talk about real quick before we take a break and then get into meat and potatoes of some of these things? Anything you want to throw in there that's coming up shortly? Or
Well, you know, I think similar to what Tony said, looking forward to next year, information on preschool registration is going to be coming out on Friday. We have sent home kindergarten.
Preschool registration for next August,
for
September.
For next school year. Kindergarten registration has gone home with our preschool kids and is being pushed out, that information. So, like he said, I mean, it's go time. We're looking at 23-24 already, and to see kind of what the numbers are and what we need to do with staffing, with scheduling.
Yeah.
But as we also live in the present, I know our student council's busy prepping and planning for our Celebrate Reading Week that we have coming up. That's always a fun week to help promote reading and get kids just to break the routine a little bit. So we'll start that at the end of February. So we have that coming up, but Student Council is doing a great job getting those things together.
Okay. So, Rocker, you're going to be talking about when we get through with them, we're going to do
pop culture.
Just regular pop culture history, but with birthdays, you say you're going to do the whole week or something like that?
We'll try to hit it.
We'll do some of that. Okay. So that's what's coming up, and we'll take a little break, and we'll be back, and we'll get into the meat and potatoes of things with the high school principal, Tony Stahl, and elementary principal, Kelly Toby, back in just a minute or two.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Fort Recovery High School Cheerleading Squad will be holding a Cheerleader Fun Day for kids from kindergarten through 6th grade. This fun day will be on Saturday, January 28th from 8:30 a.m. until noon, with sign-in beginning at 8 a.m. in the Commons. The cost is $20 per child and includes a t-shirt if you sign up by Monday, January 9th. Fort Recovery students through 6th grade receive their sign-up sheets at school, and the sign-up sheets are also available on the Fort Recovery Cheerleading Facebook page. The kids will learn chants, cheers, and a dance from the high school cheerleaders, and there will be a parents' preview at noon, and the kids will perform at halftime of the boys' JV game that night in the Fortsite Fieldhouse. This is an event that the kids and our fans look forward to every year, so be sure to get your kids signed up for this fun cheerleading camp taking place on Saturday, January 28th. Be sure to sign up by January 9th to get your t-shirt. Fort Recovery Community Club's annual fish fry is coming up on Saturday, January 21st from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportman Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins, French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's annual all-you-can-eat fish fry at the Progressive Sportman Club on Saturday, January 21st from 4 to 7 p.m.
All right, we are back here on Insight with Tony Stahl and Kelly Toby talking about school stuff. So, Mr. Stahl, Tony, high school, tell us about stuff you want us to know about with the high school. What's going on and things that students might have done?
Well, yeah, there's, like I said earlier, a lot of stuff always going on at the high school. There's been a lot lot of, you know, really great things, a lot of achievements student-wise. I'll run through a couple of them here. You know, go back into the fall. We had a really great fall, August, September, October, with our fall sports seasons and academics. You know, our cross-country and band teams went back to state from last year, so that's, you know, 2 years in a row. We had a lot of records broken in our cross-country season. The girls placed second in the MAC overall cross-country. We had a champion, MAC champion on the boys' side. So that, you know, that is transitioned over, you know, into the winter season.
Trevor Heitkamp is a sophomore.
He is a junior.
Is he junior now? He's been accomplishing for a while.
Really solid cross country runner for us. So he does a really nice job. And then, you know, even back from the fall, I think we had 47 or almost 50, I think it was 47, almost 50 fall MAC academic award winners, which is always a good thing.
Wow.
So those are given by the league, and you have to be a sophomore that earns a varsity, sophomore or older, that earns a varsity letter and has a 3.5 or above. So almost 50.
That's pretty good.
That's
basically straight A's.
So a lot of our student athletes achieve academically as well, which is
so good. The fall sports are obviously football, volleyball, golf, cross country.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
And are there any other that out of four?
Golf. So there's cheerleading.
Cheerleading. Yeah, yep. So the out of those five, that's basically 10. Out of each one of those sports, and obviously probably not cheerleading because I don't think there's 10 of them, but, you know, that's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it was a solid number.
They are out there doing all the practicing, all the work, all the actual sporting events. You know, volleyball is 3 or 4 days a week that you're playing.
And
everything except Sunday you're practicing.
Well, and a lot of the students I know, you know, volleyball, football, cross country, golf, even the bands out there in the summer. Those guys start, you know, sometime in the middle of July and really don't stop until the end of their season, sometime, you know, late fall. So they put in a lot of time.
And then they have basically straight A's.
Yeah. A good chunk of them for sure. They do.
Yeah.
Really,
I mean, it's just
nice
that's really, really good, because it takes a lot of time to do those sports, but you know, and there's a lot to be learned from those sports, but it can take away from homework time.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you can read a lot of data or research behind students that are involved in things, you know, tend to be, you know, more, you know, achieve it higher academically, right? That's not a secret, I think, to a lot of people in education. But we started actually tracking this about 2 years ago, and we have about 93% of our student body that is involved in at least one activity. You know, and that could be something from, you know, band or a football team to
one of the clubs.
Exactly.
That's really good.
It's a lot of kids. So our goal, kind of our, you know, unofficial goal at the high school is to kind of obviously increase those numbers and to get kids, you know, we do a club sign-up day at the beginning of the school year, and they kind of sign up electronically, and we offer a lot of different clubs. We have our tribe time, which is in the middle of the day, kind of two lunches that separates it, that we do a lot of those activities. So, you know, we like to see kids involved and part of something and having fun, whether it's...
Yeah, because even if they don't think they want to, you know, if they feel kind of socially awkward... to get in with one of those clubs, even if you're not like a president or any kind of officer, or if you're just one of those people, you're involved with other people, you get to help other people, because there's probably things, even if you're socially awkward, there may be things that you know how to do that somebody else doesn't. You can actually help somebody else with their things, and then there obviously other people can help you with this and that and the other. It's just a really, really good thing to be involved with stuff, whatever it might be, whether it's the FFA, the Spanish club, the what is that, FCCLA kind of things.
Yeah, and another one this year we had that was kind of student-driven. We've had it in the past at the high school chess club. Has been dormant for a little bit. We didn't have an advisor. There wasn't, you know, enough student interest, but that has kind of made a pretty strong comeback this year from a couple of the students that have started. And that's a pretty popular one. So
That's awesome.
Yeah,
because
so that's always something.
That's something I might be able to be the janitor after the chess matches.
I was up there a couple of weeks ago, and a student, I will not name him at this point, but I owe him a rematch because the bell rang. And I'm glad the bell rang, because he had me up against the ropes. So
I I would say I knew how to play chess, or I shouldn't say that. I knew the moves of each the pawns and the rooks and all that.
Yeah.
I knew the moves. I didn't know any strategy. I just was way too dumb for that.
That's about how I know. I know enough to get them across the board and put them right where I'm not supposed to put them. So that's about all I do.
So when you're doing that, do any of the kids look at you and go, you sure you want to move that there?
There they were. By the end of it, we had a couple kids around us watching, so it was, but not in that good way, I think.
Now, yeah, I was going to say, were they doing it just to psych you out?
Yeah, I think a little bit. They were
or,
against me.
Or they so. really saying, yeah, you're gonna get nailed right there, or were they just doing it to
a lot
make
of, are you sure you want to make that move? Are you sure? You took your hand off it. So. Yeah, but it's fun. It's a fun game.
Yeah, that's just the chess club having some fun. There's all kinds of things you can do with any of these other things. It's just really good to get involved. And if you know one of the kids that's not not necessarily somebody that would be in things, just go ask them to come join your club or give them a suggestion, because it is a really good thing. It's fun, and you get to do stuff with other people. People help you. You help them. Especially if you get to help them, gives you a pretty good feeling of accomplishment of helping somebody out, even if you thought you didn't have anything to bring to the table.
Absolutely. A good example of that is our FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America Club, and our student council. Mm-hmm. This year, we do an Adopt-A-Family every year, Adopt-A-Families, and we were able to help 14 different families this year, right before the holidays, and it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $6,000, $6,500, I think they spent on presents and gifts and things like that to give 14 families some.
That's awesome.
A positive holiday.
So where did the funds come from for that?
Mostly the pie sale fundraiser that those two student groups do. You might have bought a pie, right? And then also community donations. A lot of community. We have a very generous community that kind of chips in on some of that stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, pie donation or pie sales and donations is the main income for that.
That is, that talk about getting a feeling of helping somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just.
Do you make the pies, Tony?
I do not.
Sales will skyrocket now that you're not making the pies.
Yeah, everybody buying a pie, you can rest assured. I did not touch them. So I'm about as good a pie baker as I am a chess player. So not too good.
So any other like groups or things like that you want to?
Well, the other one we mentioned kind of in passing, the FFA, obviously a very, very large group.
Yeah, they do a little bit of stuff.
They do. You might have heard of the FFA. So just recently we had they do a lot of what they call career development events. And our two advisors, Michael Gower and Joe Hawk, do a nice job, do a fantastic job.
Yeah, they're probably some of the best.
Yeah.
Especially as a duo, probably probably might be the best in the state.
Yeah,
they're just unreal.
It's a solid FFA program. Those guys do a really nice job. But we've recently had one prior to the break. I think it was back in maybe early December. Our agricultural technology, our technical and mechanical systems team.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys placed. Let me think. I think it was second in the fourth in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Third in the state of Ohio. Third in the state. My apologies. Third in the state of Ohio, and that was early December, and they got to go to OSU, ATI, and Worcester, and they do kind of like a hands-on, a bunch of different tests over, technical and mechanical mm-hmm. systems, so things, like electricity, hydraulics, welding, things like that.
Yeah.
And those guys placed third in the state back in early December. And so that was, anytime they get a top five, they call that a banner, or they get a banner for that one.
Yeah.
And then we also had, just yesterday, we had our ag biotechnology team, and they placed seventh in the state at their kind of initial career development exam, which is like an online test that they take.
Mm-hmm. And so that's probably out of several hundred?
Yeah, I am not 100% sure, but there's, every FFA chapter in the state of Ohio has the opportunity to take that test. I'm not mm-hmm. sure all of them always do. They, kind of pick mm-hmm. and choose which test you want to take. But, that is the potential out of all those, FFA chapters in the state of Ohio, we placed seventh in that. And so we had a team that got to move on to like the state finals round mm-hmm. Next week. So they've had some success here relatively early or halfway through the school year, I guess. So.
Yeah, that's just great. And a lot of those types of events like that can and sometimes do lead to career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know, we have some students on that are in the FFA, obviously, but they're, not so much on, agricultural sciences is such a broad, you know, it can be everything from, you know, welding and building tractors, or it could be something like, you know, fertilizer application with a chemistry degree. You know what I mean? So they try to, like I said, right there, we had mechanical systems and biotechnology were the two tests that we placed in the top 10 in the state. And so that is a, right there, a wide range of interest that our students are pursuing. And so, you know, our job at the high school, and our staff does a nice job of kind of finding out what they're interested in and helping them kind of, you know, give them opportunities to go explore and check that out and be successful. And when you have that recipe, our kids usually are.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I don't remember who I was talking to, but there was a young man, I think it might have been a young lady, that was talking about, I don't remember if it was Mr. Gower or Mr. Hawk, but they'd kind of, like you alluded to, kind of looked for what they liked, and neither one of them knew much about it, so they just went and studied and figured out so they could help teach this person. They'll go way above and beyond. That's why they're so, everybody loves them, because they'll just go find out about stuff that probably didn't exist when they were in school, so they couldn't take that, and they'll just go learn enough so they can teach you, and you probably both of them are learning at the same time going along, and that's even better when you have several people doing stuff. You can kind of exchange ideas, and when you have faculty that will do that for you,
absolutely.
Go way beyond what they technically get paid for to, you know, they could have said, no, I can't help you, and nobody would have ever thought anything different. But
I know Mrs. Armstrong, Robin Armstrong, chemistry teacher, physics teacher, and then Kathy Schwederman, our science staff, has helped out with that biotechnology test, you know, so it's an FFA thing, it's an FFA test, but we have our, you know, our science teachers answering questions for these kids to help prep them for that thing, so
that's awesome.
It's a team effort for sure.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, they wouldn't need to do that. That's not their...
Not my department, or
But that's the kind of people that we hire around here that care enough to go that extra mile to help one kid out of however many we have here to excel. It's just great. I love, without even being in the middle of any of that, I love how our school is going. We have such outstanding leaders, faculty, maintenance people.
We do. It takes a lot. There's a lot of different things that go on to make a school run, and we do have, I agree 100%, fantastic staff and support staff and teachers, and like I said, it takes a village for sure.
Yep. So anything else we want to throw out there in this kind of round one of the
high school? I mean, you know, we have student appreciation night for the girls basketball game tomorrow night. So any students listening, come on out. Free pizza for the student section. Free admission to the game.
While it lasts, I saw on there.
Yeah, while it lasts. While it lasts. And I'll be there. So I'll be, you know, see
you later. You better hurry up,
students. You know, so that's exciting. And we had one last week with the boys game at Delphus. And that was, we had a lot of people there. That was exciting.
Yes.
So
that lit up the place.
Yeah,
and
I think it was fun.
I think Harold and Harold Feely and Coach Patch were talking on Saturday night about what a great atmosphere that was on Friday night. They suggested we just do the student night every night, every home basketball game. That's a lot of extra work for you guys to put stuff together.
You know, we do have the Hall of Fame night coming up. We have the Troy Pop Rocks coming out on, I think, February 10th, maybe, in Knoxville
The Knoxville game,
So we've got a couple things kind of moving here in the winter sports season to draw some people in and get some more big crowds like that. So.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Pop Rocks, where did we see them this year?
I think they're at Versailles.
I believe. It's basically, I'm going to say 10 to 15-year-old, maybe even all the way through high school, kids, mostly girls, doing jump rope stuff. And if you think, I don't want to go watch somebody do jump rope, that's pretty stupid. Well, it is not that.
I agree.
They had people.
It's intense.
The Fort Recovery fans and the Versailles fans hooting and hollering and screaming and standing. It's something to see. It really is a show.
Our athletic director, Holly Gain, and I were kind of working this past summer, fall, trying to get some of these dates and stuff planned. And we got bumped. We were actually on the Pop Rock schedule. And we got a call from confirm, like, hey, we had to actually reschedule yours because we're going to Penn State that day. So I was like, all right, well,
that's bummed by Penn State.
So, yeah. So we're real appreciative of them. That'll be
If they said, we're going back to Versailles again. We ain't going to that one, but we'll let you go to Penn State.
I guess we're all right with that.
That's a little bit. So, yeah, that's kind of neat. So anything else you want to cover here, Tony?
Yeah, no, that's, I think, I mean, there's other stuff, but that's good.
Yeah, we'll be back with things in a different thing. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Kelly about kind of the same sort of what's going on in the elementary over in that crazy new old building that's 20 years old. It looks like it's 1 year old.
Yep,
so
that's right.
Be back in just a minute.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. The Jay and Mercer County Special Olympics groups are having a joint fundraiser on Saturday, February 4th at Miracle Lanes. Get your four-person team together and get entered now by calling Tom Remoklis at 419-852-2987, or you can enter at Miracle Lanes. This will be an 8-pin no-tap tournament, and the cost is only $80 for each four-person team, and you'll get 3 games of bowling, and each team will also get a large pizza. Here's a great way to help out our local Special Olympics teams and have fun at the same time. Don't miss out on this fun afternoon of bowling. Saturday, February 4th, Miracle Lanes, 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament, fundraiser for Jay and Mercer County Special Olympics. There will be 2 shifts, 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, so get entered early to get the shift that works best for your team by calling 419-852-2987 or just stop out at Miracle Lanes and sign up now. The Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters will be holding a booster membership bash on Friday, January 20th at Miracle Lanes following the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. All current and newly signed up booster members in attendance will receive 2 free drink tokens for that night. If you aren't a member, or if you have friends or family who aren't members but you think they should be, drag them out to the bowling alley after the Marion Local game and get them signed up. Wild Toe and Go tickets will be available, and a 50-50 drawing in Queen of Hearts and other raffles will be going on, too. Get out to Miracle Lanes for the 2nd Annual Athletic Boosters Booster Bash on Friday, January 20th after the Marion Local game, and get yourself and your friends signed up to be members of the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters.
We're back on Insight. And we're talking with the high school principal, Tony Stahl, and elementary principal, Kelly Toby. And so we got to hear what's going on at the high school there. Kelly, what's going on at the elementary school?
Well, I know we don't have as many moving parts as the high school, so
yeah.
It's not going to be as long of a segment, but elementary is always elementary, and so we still do have some things going on. Like I had said earlier, the preschool registration, kindergarten registration will be coming up. We will have our Celebrate Reading Week.
Yeah, can I ask you real quick on the preschool?
Preschool.
Obviously, preschool, you kind of, that gives you a pretty good idea what you're going to have for kindergarten.
Yep.
How in the world do you have any idea how many preschool kids to plan for? Is that what the registration's for?
And that
do we get like maybe 75% of the kids in the community, or 100%, or do you have any idea? Does it change from year to year?
You know, if I would compare the number of kids who attend preschool who then turn around and enroll in kindergarten, I would say we are probably close to a 95% of our students attend our preschool and then go on to our kindergarten. We do have a few students who do not attend our preschool. They attend a different preschool, they have parents who are able to stay home and kind of do a homeschool kind of thing with preschool.
Yeah.
So many.
So as far as the next year's preschool numbers, how do you get any feel for how many are coming into preschool?
You know, there's really no science to it.
Okay.
You know,
I just can't imagine how you could figure that out, and I guess somewhere along the census line you could about figure out how many would be eligible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do we even know if that number is consistent from year to year at 85%, or is it like 50% one year and 100% the next year? Or
I would say it's not that wide of a range.
Yeah.
Not a direct correlation. I can't make an exact number, but, you know, you can watch baptismal records.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, there are some things like that. So we have an idea of when we know we're going to get an influx, or maybe we're just going to be kind of about our average, or maybe it's going to be a little bit of a smaller class. But so we have some feelers like that.
Okay, because that's something that I thought, how in the world can you plan for that? With preschool, you can sort of get at least a good idea what kindergarten numbers are going to be, and then obviously all the rest of the way up. But that first round, I don't know how you figure that out.
Yeah,
so that's good. That's
why
good.
We start now.
Yeah.
It's not a clear cut, easy. You know, you sign up, register, and here you go, you're in. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some scheduling and some, you know, shifting things that we have to do once we get the information to see what we're looking at. So yeah, there's a process. It takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think outside of the box. It's a puzzle, but we seem to make it work. So
yeah,
it's always a good thing.
Awesome. So I interrupted you when you're getting ready to go on to the next.
Not a problem. No, I think the next thing I was going to go to, we do have a band concert, so our fifth grade will have their first band concert coming up at the end of February. So fifth grade students, that's their first year for band. So this will be their first performance as a band member, which is always exciting.
Yes.
So we'll have that, and we'll see, you know, all of their hard work that they've put into it. For fifth graders, their schedule, if they're in band, they do not meet as a full band. They meet by their section, so percussion, woodwind, brass. So, you know, as far as them coming together and sounding like a band, that takes a lot of work. So, they're working hard, so that will be exciting to see them with their first all-together band performance coming up in a few weeks. Then we'll roll into our Celebrate Reading Week. We'll kick off with author Shannon Anderson, and then later in the week we will bring in Jim Basketball Jones. Both of these authors and presenters have a message of growth mindset. You know, don't give up. You've got to change your mindset. How do you approach a situation? You know, it's okay to struggle. I mean, Tony Stahl did a great job showing these students that he can't play chess, but that's okay. He didn't give up. He didn't throw the chessboard. You know, you keep at it, and you make it, you still,
exactly,
you try,
right,
and you have fun.
So this Jim Basketball Jones.
Yeah.
Sounds like he may be puts on a little bit of a performance with it?
Yeah, he does. So he does, you know, engage the students, he will have the students participate, but he also has a message. Like I said, the growth mindset of, you know, what can you do to make yourself better? And how do you approach things? You know, all about how the thinking and how do you internalize what is going on around you? You know, you can let situations just consume you, or you can embrace them and make, you know, learn from the situation. But the other message that he has is, you know, when he was in school, he had a learning disability. And, you know, school is not easy for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody struggles at something, but yep. For him, school was difficult. So he also does address that and how he overcame some of the challenges so that he could, you know, in turn graduate. He did go to college, and now here he is. He has a pretty successful life. So, you know, not... We don't want kids to feel that just because they struggle right now with this one subject area in the elementary, that that's their path for life. We have so many kids that have so many strengths, and, you know, kind of how Tony was talking about, once they find their niche and once they find their passion, they yeah. just bloom. And, you know, it's not about, oh, but I'm not good at that. Well, don't let that hold you back.
Yeah,
so, you
yeah know, like around here, if you're not this or this, if you're not good at, let's say, farming or math or something like this, there's all kinds of kids that have gone on and done other things that were kind of very socially inept, they weren't good at history, but they were good at something else that maybe we didn't offer, and somewhere along the line they found themselves and ended up being just, you know, either just regular normal people or just somebody kind of outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
That were, everybody's going, him? Her, they, you know, they
absolutely
they couldn't pass basic math. Mm-hmm. You know, how are they doing? How are they a college English professor? You know, yeah. They can't do math. You know, it's just you never know what your little niche might be, and somewhere along the line, you're going to find it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, and I think that's where it kind of just goes right back to that growth mindset, you know, that we mm-hmm. want to instill in these kids. It's okay to struggle in certain areas of life. Yeah. That doesn't mean you're going to struggle in everything.
Yeah.
You know, you will find your passion. You yep. will find what you love.
Yep.
Just, but you can't give up on the things that are a
right.
struggle. You still got to work through it.
Yep.
So it will be a good week. But with
yep.
that, you know, we'll also do some different activities with the students, just in-house with our staff, to promote the growth mindset, to practice and apply some of it with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have times throughout the week where we'll just stop and read, because it is Celebrate Reading Week. And then to end the week, we will do our breakfast with books. So I did not check before I came, but I believe last year I had ordered 46 dozen donuts, and I don't think I ran out, but I did not have any extra. So I know my note said to order more. So it's a pretty well attended.
How many
event.
Dozen?
46, I want to say. So I'm going to be.
That's almost 100 donuts.
Well, kind of, yeah.
That's
you just keep
Christmas
working on that math.
Well, I was pretty good at math. I could do the math in my head in about 5 seconds, but I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, before they had terms for it, I was mildly dyslexic. I still, when I'm typing, I'll switch letters, numbers all mess up. I kind of... distracted. I don't read well. I can read a newspaper article. That's about the mm-hmm. length of it. But I have to read it two or three times to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read books, and it drives me crazy because there's some great books that I'd like to read. But if I'm on page 25, my brain's still on page one. So there's if you kind of learn to cope with that stuff, you can do stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't. You know. I didn't have to do that stuff to be able to proceed in life. All that, everything, I didn't have to be great at everything to move on.
Yes.
You know.
Very
so,
true.
Yeah.
Very true. And speaking of that, I know, you know, dyslexia is definitely becoming more apparent, more of a word you hear. You know, our teachers are picking up and ramping up on a lot of training mm-hmm. and professional development. The state has come out with some new requirements, so teachers are going to be heavily involved in some professional development on dyslexia, in what they're calling the science of reading. So developmentally, how do our brains, how are they wired to make us read? Yeah.
Because in this day and age, maybe something could have been worked out where I could actually keep my mind on what I was reading instead of thinking back.
Absolutely.
10 pages.
Yep.
You know, because I could go through the pages and look at the words, and I'm looking at all of that, and I'd get page 25 and thinking, well, I'm still thinking about what's back there on page one, and I don't know anything that I looked at in between. I'm sure that somewhere along the line they're going to figure that out. And that'll be really, really good.
It will be. It will. You know, every person is different and every child is different. So when it does come to the strengths and the weaknesses, there is a lot that goes into that to try to meet those needs. And, you know, if it's the intervention or if it's an enrichment. But, you know, that's what education is. And that's what we drive. That's our drive. We want to make sure we meet every kid's needs.
So. Yeah. And Fort Recovery and I think most of the schools around us, they look for teachers, administrators that are going to make sure that happens instead of going into school and doing what people accuse teachers of doing, getting there at 8, leaving at 3, and don't do anything after that. I'm sure there are some places where that happens, but that doesn't happen around here.
No.
If you're one of those, you're not going to be there next year. We're sorry, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah, and even if you would see anybody pulling out of the parking lot at 3, they probably have a big bag full of books, things to grade. So it's not even once you leave, you're leaving and leaving it there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it is definitely, it's one of those careers, one of those jobs that you don't just show up and go home. You live and breathe it.
Yep.
So, yeah. But we have a great staff that we definitely try to be proactive in meeting the needs and responding to the students. And when we see something, we want to respond rather than wait and see before it's too late.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely the approach we take. We want to make sure we just support the kids as much as we can.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to pick back up. I think I finished Breakfast with Books. That will end our Celebrate Reading Week. You know, then we'll pick up on some of our spring field trips that the kids always look forward to. We'll have our first grade spring performance. So that's an evening performance, and then followed up with our Grandparents' Day performance that our kindergarten students put on. So that's always fun. You know, when you put a group of kindergartners on stage, you never know what you're going to get. So,
but you do know you're going to love it.
You're going to love it, and you're going to get a laugh.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Entertainment.
Yep.
You know, I think one of, so far, when it comes to kindergartners and just you don't know, they keep you on your toes. We had Holly Gann come over and do a little bus assembly. She had this motorized bus. And I told her, I said, Holly, I'm telling you, this is not going to be a 10-minute conversation because you're going to, I can't remember this motorized bus had a name.
It's Buster.
I don't
know. Buster the bus.
I said, but Holly, somebody's going to know a Buster. There's going to be, and it's a ripple effect. And she's like, no, I got it. It's under control. I'm going to stand on stage. These kids are going to sit back here. And it was like, hands up, my friend. And it just all kind of went. I was like, yep, that is kindergarten in a nutshell. You know, just the energy and the innocence, but it's fun. So, yeah. So Grandparents' Day will be coming up end of March. And then something new that we will have at the elementary and junior high, so at the EMS building, Mrs. Tracy Evers-Westgardis, I believe just finished, or actually tomorrow night is the last night of auditions for a grades 3 through 8 musical that they will be putting on this year. So this is something new. Princess What's Her Name is the title of this musical. So I know students are excited. I'm excited because I know it's just going to be awesome between the talent that we have and with that leadership. It's going to be a good performance. So that will come out mid-April, and then we'll roll into testing, and then May is just a crazy month because we've got everything. It's May. We're wrapping it up. So
That's really good. By the way, 564. That's how many donuts.
Donuts. Yeah.
That's a
and
lot
I
of
need
donuts.
To order more. So, yeah, it is a lot of donuts.
It took me
but
three or four
great.
Steps in about 10 seconds, but I did come up with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like I said, it's a well attended event. It's a good event.
Yeah.
They come in, they have a book. You know, parents, grandparents sit and read with their child. And enjoy a donut. I mean, yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, how does life get better than that?
That's awesome.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
So, let's take another break. We'll come back and talk about some more school stuff with our principals in just a couple minutes.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
I heard my voice on your radio commercial. How did you do that?
Well, since you keep calling looking for everything, we decided we'd use your calls to show how we really do have something for everyone.
So I'm famous now?
Well, semi-famous. This is local radio.
But I want to be famous.
Well, we're famous for having insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual.
I'll have my agents call you to talk about money.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Hi, I'm Jen Thompson from Generation Fitness, and I have some great nutrition news for Fort Recovery and the surrounding area communities. I'm partnering with Wayne IGA, and the Gen Fit and Fresh meals are going to be available there. There'll be single servings, family-style meals, snacks, and desserts in their grab-and-go section. If you've been curious about our Gen Fit and Fresh meals, here's a great way to try them out. If you're already a big fan, you don't have to wait until after your class at Generation Fitness to pick them up. Just grab what you want, when you want, when you're getting the rest of your groceries at Wayne IGA. We'll rotate the meals occasionally so you can try them all and get a good variety of nutrition to you and your family. Wholesome, nutritious meals made with fresh ingredients, now available right there in your local grocery store. Stop in at Wayne IGA and try Gen Fit and Fresh Meals.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, our Lady Indians will host Coldwater. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the game, and their audio will also be heard on the NFHS video. That will also be another student appreciation night, with all the Fort Recovery students getting in free. On Friday, our boys will travel to Coldwater to take on the MAC leading Cavaliers. Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you that action live, and the NFHS video will be available for the game. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will go down to Ansonia for a varsity-only game at noon. We'll simulcast WPGW for that game. Then on Saturday evening, the boys will host the Maumee Valley Country Day Hawks from the Toledo area. Fort Recovery Radio will bring you all the action live, and our audio can also be heard on the NFHS video. Two girls' games and two boys' games this week, so get out and support our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Hi, this is Dave Timmerman with the Sons of the American Legion in Fort Recovery, Ohio. We are having our annual barbecue chicken dinners on February 12th, just $9 each. And you get half a chicken prepared by Romer's Catering, applesauce chips and roll. You can contact Dave Timmerman at 419-852-6916 or Whitey Vogel at 419-852-0316 or any Suns member for tickets. We will be serving from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 12th, and you can eat in or carry out. You can contact any Suns.
Well, I don't know what happened. Not sure what happened with that announcement. You can contact any Suns member for tickets for the Sons of the American Legion chicken dinners, and that's coming up in February. So, sorry about the miscue on whatever that happened on that, but we'll anyway. We're back here on Insight with our principals, Kelly Toby at the elementary school, Tony Stahl at the high school. Tony, you were middle school principal?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
And so how have things gone moving up to the high school principal? Like it? Love it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they both have, I think they're like anything else, positives and negatives. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I definitely, there's a lot more at the high school. I think I'm still, you know, this is year halfway through year three at the high school. And I still think I'm trying to get my head kind of turned straight and from spinning around from so many different things, you know, and that's where I said our staff does, you know, Cheryl Wenning and Stacey Laux in the office do a great job, and Amy Kaiser, high school guidance counselor, those guys do a really nice job of just.
I do like the way that Cheryl and Stacey run the school.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good. Exactly. I mean, you should have them on Insight next time. If they're listening, you guys, they're coming.
Everybody knows they run the school.
Yeah.
Very true.
And if you don't have the right people in the office, you can have all the right administration, but things don't go well.
Well, it's you know, it's things like that, and even with like the buses on time, you know, those things that are happening at 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, that you know, people, you know, when they go right, nobody says anything.
Yep,
you know?
They don't even notice it.
They don't even notice it, and that's a good day when you don't notice anything. Everything's going on, it's fine. But you know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes into the back end planning on that, and so our support staff, from the bus drivers to the custodians to the office staff, help that tremendously. So that I think has been the biggest difference from middle to high, is just the the different opportunities for students and kind of figuring out, you know, all of these different opportunities and course offerings and programs that we have to get the right kids in the right spot, you know, over their career, to put them in the best possible spot. That's been a lot to just kind of wrap my head around.
So middle school is maybe kind of preparing them for high school. High school's preparing them for life. Is that kind of how that goes? Or is there, I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that.
Well, sure. I think you're
trying to get something accomplished, and
sure, the whole system's kind of getting them designed for, you know, whatever's next. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You don't always know. You know, you think it could be, going into the workforce or going into college, or things change. So that's what I tell kids when I sit a lot with them is, you know, you want to put yourself in the best opportunity to have choices and to have opportunities. You know, you don't necessarily want to just pigeonhole yourself into one track, you know, for forever. You know, you want to be able to give, you know, you might not want to go to college, and that's fine, but be able to go, you know, if you want to go. Don't, you know, take that job opportunity, that's fine, but you might want to take these two classes too to help you out should things change down the road in the year.
Because if you decide you're going to be a welder, you might go and work here at whatever place it might be, and if you're doing a really good job, they may want to move you into a higher position, which would require maybe going to a class or two or getting a degree, and you want to, number one, you want to go and do a really good job so you keep your job and keep moving up. But if you get an opportunity to go to a management type of position, you need to know that
how
that's going to work when you do go to college,
and
if it's only for a class or two or a 2-year degree.
Absolutely, you want the chance to say yes, you know, when that opportunity arises, you want to be, you don't have to say yes, but you know, at least to have the option is put you in a good spot. And so that's kind of what we try to do for, you know, all those kids going through the high school, to get them in the best spot for, you know, graduation, the end of their 4 years, and set them up for some success, hopefully. So
So anything else with the high school stuff you want to kind of throw in, talk about?
Well, yeah, I could talk. I mean, I definitely talk about a couple of things.
Again, everybody, there's no sports talk tonight, so we're going to go as long as this takes. We're not going to have Bubba and Fee breathing down our necks, so we're not limited by our time frame of being having sports talk start at 8:15 instead of 8 o'clock, because sports talk isn't going to be on tonight, so we can do however long we want.
Not that we ever went by that anyway.
No, they're scheduled for 8, and I think we got there by 8:05 twice last year. Rest of time is Bubba's famous line, 8:17, we're right on time. So tonight we're not worrying about that at all. So go ahead with anything else that you want to.
Well, yeah, one of the things that we, one of a couple of things that we're doing a little differently this year is we have the new graduation requirements for the class of 2023 and beyond.
Oh, okay.
So this is the first graduating class. They've been in play for the last at least 2 years, kind of coming down the road, but this will be actually the first graduating class in Ohio that'll have these, you know, new standards that the state of Ohio is going to make everybody have. So one of the components of this is you can demonstrate competency in a different, you know, if you cannot pass certain tests at the end of you know, certain classes in the high school, you have the option to what's called get an industry credential, and you need 12-point industry credentials. You know, and there's a lot of different industries that you can pick. A lot of our students earn those at TriStar. You can get those at TriStar through not all the programs, but most of the programs there at least have the opportunity to earn some of those points. So you can earn them in a couple different ways by taking, you know, industry recognized credential tests. And so we are going to offer one of those now at Fort Recovery, which is going to be a little bit more of an in-house one. So if a student isn't necessarily, you know, interested in going to TriStar or taking, you know, those programs over there, they can stay in our school 8 periods a day at the high school, and then they'll have the opportunity to take, you know, earn their 12-point industry credential if they can't pass certain tests. So that's an option that we haven't had.
That's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah. I think
there's some kids that just don't do well on tests.
Yeah, and that's one thing with there's a lot of flex. I mean, it's certainly complicated and probably more complicated from a graduation standpoint than it has been in the last 10, 15 years in graduating from high school. But with that complication, there comes a lot of options, you know, and so there's a lot of different pathways. And so it gives, you know, it allows you to kind of fit it to the kid, but then when you have 300-plus kids and each guy's got a different plan, it definitely creates its own, you know, chaos there a little bit too. But it definitely gives, you know, it benefits the students, I think. And so this will be a good program that we're having in-house. It's actually going to be through the National Retail Federation. This will be like industry fundamentals of the retail industry, as well as customer service and sales, and that's going to be kind of what it focuses on. Those students will have the opportunity to get 2 6-point credentials. You know, they take some tests at the end of the course, and if they pass those, they'll earn that credential as a possibility to use toward graduation if they need it. And so that's something that we haven't offered before that we're rolling out now.
So that's probably a small percentage of kids, but those are kids that when they get done, they're not called a failure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's,
you know,
because the chances are, unless it's just somebody that's hopeless, you know, that's bound to be a criminal, there aren't any failures in life. They figure out somewhere along the line what they're good at, and they go do it.
Yeah.
And if you have to have that high school degree to get that opportunity, that's a great thing, because, you know, I'm sure there's been some, but I can't think of anybody in the last 20 or 30 years that's gone to Fort Recovery that I would call a failure in life at all.
Well, and there's the thing that's kind of neat about this class is that it definitely gives us an option for kind of backup, you know, planning for graduation and things like that. And it definitely is a good, you know, tool for us to use to ensure kids get to the finish line when they're supposed to get there. But we offered it just as a general class for any kid to take if they wanted to, you know, gain some industry credentials or learn about customer service and sales. Obviously, there's a lot of jobs, you know, even in this area related to, you know, retail fundamentals and customer service and sales, things like that. So there's a lot of kids that just jumped up just to take that class. So like I said, it's a semester course. It's the first time we're offering it, so we're going to see how it goes. But you know, we're excited about the possibility that it presents our kids.
Yeah, and you know, even if it's it might take some other skills to get there, but like I know J&M Manufacturing, JR Manufacturing have people that they pay decent money to be in customer service and retail sales, and that's important.
Yeah,
you may not be good at welding or whatever it might be at something else, but you might be able to go take care of something in the at JR in the customer service.
Yep.
You know, those are important jobs, especially to big businesses like that, because their customer service isn't like, say, my phone company customer service, where if they happen to lose me as a customer, they lost $50 a month.
Yeah,
if
you know,
JR, they you know, if they lose a customer because of bad customer service, they lost a bunch of money, and that's a whole. Mm-hmm. So that's an important job, and if you're good at it, they're willing to pay you to take care of their customers. You know, and really, it's coming down to caring. If you care about your customer, you're going to be okay. So, but anyway, that's enough interruption.
Sure. Well, no, that's definitely all part of it. It incorporates some like financial literacy components as well. You know, using a credit card, applying for loans, you know, related industry terminology that you often find in retail and customer sales and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good class for our students to be offered. The other thing, we're another class we're offering new this year that we've kind of been rolling out, and we're getting into the semester now, second semester, I guess, is a public speaking class. We're offering that through College Credit Plus. So I think we got about 7 or 8 college credit classes that we offer on campus in the high school that you can take with our staff. And so a new one that we've kind of offered for college credit this year is public speaking. And so that's one that we're kind of excited about, and give that to the students. So we have a little bit of a customer service, sales, public speaking, kind of working on some of our people skills a little bit. With some of those skill sets that often get overlooked. You know, we have a really great FFA program and ag and welding, and we obviously have all the opportunities at TriStar, but also working on kind of the people side of it too. And so
yes, and that's important, kind of no matter what kind of job you end up with.
Yeah,
because you're about 150% chance that you're going to be working with people somewhere along the line.
Exactly. So some line in your job, you're going to have to get up front and talk to somebody, you know, and explain something to your boss or a group of people, or interview for a job or something like
or
that.
Or even if you're a farmer, you're going to have to explain to your banker, your accountant, what's going on.
Exactly.
You're going to have to, and you need to have communication skills so that they know what you're talking about.
Yep. And, certainly cannot hurt.
Whether you're trying to learn something from them and you have to give them the information you have so they can give you your information, or in another situation, you could be the one giving the expertise and you need to be able to present it correctly for them to understand. So, you know, that's all. Those are really good things to do, and it can kind of take very shy people out of their shell.
Yes.
And that's a big
hard
thing.
To do. Hard to do.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I tell, we were talking about the teacher and guidance counselor kind of preparing for. That's one of the things I think I took in college was a public speaking class. And I tell anybody to listen, that was one of the best things, because I was not a great public speaker. I don't like doing it. You know what I mean? I don't think many people do. But just to be able to do it and to do it, you know, somewhat well.
Be proficient at it. You don't have to be the expert.
Just be proficient, and you don't have to like it, you know, but to be proficient at it is a very valuable skill that I think has paid dividends in my life, at least.
Yeah, unless you're the Mr. Basketball Jones that you're going to do it for a living, then you have to be really, really good at it. But
like
you do need to be able to get up and communicate when it's time to do that.
Exactly.
Whether it's in front of your kids, a bunch of people, a small group, a huge group, whatever it might be, you need to be able to do that, even if you get the opportunity just once or twice in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the obligation maybe sometime.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to at least, let's say you want to give the eulogy at a friend's funeral.
Yeah.
You need to be able to do that. And that may be 40 years down the road, but you need to at least understand some of the basics of how to get over being afraid of it and how to prepare. And those kind of classes are just fantastic.
Yeah. So those are two kind of new ones that we're rolling out really for this year, particularly with the second semester starting that we're kind of, you know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks here, we'll have a better feel for how they're going, but hopefully something that we'd look and, you know, to carry over into next school year and offer. So,
So any other stuff you want to kind of run through there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was the other thing I was going to talk about that I'm not sure, we did switch to electronic report cards this year. That was another new thing. You know, we haven't done that before. And so we've got, I guess we'll have another one coming out Friday. Yeah, report cards on Friday. So that'll be, I guess, the third time we've done it, or second time.
Second
time.
We're
starting
the third 9 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So
I wish that had been around when I was in high school and I could say, well, I don't have those report cards. I can't tell you what kind of grades I got in.
Yeah.
Well, be careful what you wish for. These parents now can also view, they can log in any time. So if you have a
but when the world crashes and all the computers get erased, they'll never be able to find my
never hat. Happened. The grades never happened.
I did not get a D in history.
Yeah. But that's one new thing that's taken a little, I mean, not a ton of work on our end, but we do have progress book and, you know, kind of trying to modernize a little bit in some of those components. And, you know, giving the paper copies out was, you know, sometimes it was fine, but, you know, a lot of parents have access to progress book, and even kids, you know, a lot of people go on there and check them. And so it's a good way to keep, you know, up to date in communication. So that's another change that we're kind of rolling out this year that, well, it's been going okay, I think.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else before we go to Kelly?
Yeah, no, I'll let Kelly go. I think there's
all right.
She's got plenty of stuff.
I don't know that I have much more.
Well, that's okay. Just tell us what you, what else you might want to throw in, and things that did go well, things that you're working on that's new, and things that are coming up on the horizon, or anything else that's. We talked a lot about the planning for next school year, so that's always a big thing. Talked about kind of some new things that were going on. What about is there anything we need to talk about the state school report card thing that they sent out? And I know it, some of their categories are a little skewed, where a place around here, you know, like improvement. Well, if you already have 100% graduation rate, how are you going to improve on that? You know,
yeah.
If you don't improve, you're not progressing. Well, that's, you cannot improve on 100%. You know, things like that in the past that have come up. I think they've kind of changed some of that a little bit to make it. But, you know, we appeared to be really, really good on our school report card. One of them, I think, or maybe two categories, we got a 4 instead of a 5 or something. Do you think, and I don't want to put you on the spot, if you don't want to answer it, that's okay.
No, but comments.
That is an absolutely okay answer.
All right.
Because it seems like, to a lot of the lay people like myself, it just seems like some of those things that they score you on aren't very fair to certain schools. Sometimes the underprivileged schools, it makes them look worse than they are, and sometimes the high achieving schools, it makes them look like maybe they're not as really good as they are. Is there some of that that you have any issue with this time around? I know they seem to skew it a little bit each year, and I think it's gotten better, but we had a couple of years where we looked like we were terrible. Like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we looked like we were terrible,
yeah.
And we absolutely were not.
No, and, you know, I guess you can take many different approaches, but one thing is this report card, and now that they did switch to a 5-star rating, so, you know, it's always changing. It's a, I don't want to say it's a moving target. They do put out information, but
yeah.
They don't put it out and give you time to adapt and change what you need to meet that target. But it is definitely a one-size-fits-all. So you take every public school district across the state of Ohio, and we're all following that. So if you don't know what you're looking for, you might not see what you want.
Yeah, and a lay person doesn't really know what they're looking for. Now, does that report card that they put out, does that affect in any way state funding?
It is not. Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not, and maybe if you are an underrated, a poor performing consistently.
Yeah, I think at that point, then they would probably have to step in, and you'd be required to get on like an improvement plan, and maybe it might cost you some financial, you know, stuff there, just from extra things you have to do.
And that always seemed odd to me, because I know at least one of those times several years ago, a couple of the inner city schools, Dayton, Columbus, they got docked for underperformance, and so they lost some funding. Well, that's not the way to solve that problem, is take money away from the ones that are having problems to start with. You know, and they already have a small, most of it is property tax for locals, helps the schools. They have low property tax stuff, and then you take school funding away and you want them to get better. How do you, that, you know, they finally, I think they got away from that, fortunately. But so I was just wondering if it seemed like it was more logical the last couple of times that they've sent out well, report cards? It seems like it is.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that, you know, it changes so much. I think it just tells you a lot about, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, I think we've probably had three or four different versions of the state report card. And so, you know, for when you're steering, you know, districts like us, we can, fairly small in the big scheme of things. We can pivot a lot better. But when you're dealing with, like, a Dayton Public or a Centerville or, you know, some big school district, and you're changing the end zone, you know, or the target, you know, every 3 to 5 years, you know, that things take a long time to get those things kind of turned around. And so if you're always constantly changing things and what you're measuring and what you're looking at and what's important this year, you know, it's hard for schools, you know, to kind of adjust those things because you're always using the data, which is from last year. And then you're, you know, so you're always a year behind. And then now you're changing it on us. So now we have two variables. What the, you know, what are we supposed to do? So, So I think that tells you a lot about just the system. You know, I think it's a good measurement. I think it's, you know, it's an important thing to do. Obviously, the state, you know, needs to hold schools accountable, and people need to see how the school's doing. But there's a lot more that goes into schools than I think what shows up on that report card.
Yeah, good. So I think most people around here understand that because I think everybody I've ever talked to for years thinks and knows that our school has been run very well. Our students are getting the direction and the teaching that they need. And I think even no matter what that state report card might say, good or bad, we know where we are and we know we're in really good shape because we just we have problems, we just fix them.
Well, and I think one of the things that's kind of neat to see from a county perspective is that we all have, you know, I think, what, 6 different school districts in the county. And then our ESC, I think, does a really nice job. Our Educational Service Center for the county does a really nice job of kind of connecting all of us. I think we have pretty good networks with other school administrators in the area. So we're always kind of sharing ideas and bouncing things back. We actually had one today where we kind of got together and did some training on some stuff. So I think it's almost like, you know, 6 different school districts, but it's almost, you know, we don't share resources, but we share, I guess, intellectual resources and kind of. So that's a good thing, I think, in our area. Like a lot of stuff with the MAC and the different communities around here, we're all, you know, big rivals and competitive, but we're all very close, and we share a lot of the same people and a lot of the same ideas, and that's good to be a part of. I think,
I think a lot of it is when we go beat you, we want to beat the best. We don't want to beat somebody that's we hope they're not very good when we play them. No, we want them the best when we're playing them. So when we beat them, we beat their best. And it may not be exactly beating anybody in the education part of it, but you want to make them the best you can, so that everybody just keeps getting better. Everybody understands when you're sharing a great idea that you've had the chance to use and saw that it worked, or, well, this part worked, this part didn't, and you share all of that, that makes everybody better, which is makes our community better, makes our county better, makes our whole area better.
Well, and that's one of the things that, at least from a high school perspective, we're starting to see with, you know, I mentioned the graduation requirements, all the different pathways that have, you know, we cannot possibly do all that, you know, currently within the high school. It's just not possible. And so, you know, we're starting to have to get a little bit more creative. I mean, with College Credit, we partner with local colleges. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with TriStar has always been a partnership, but now we're working kind of they're helping us get some of these credentials for these kids for graduation. So now some of this, you know, it used to be relative isolation, you know, but now some of the things that they do there are directly impacting a kid's ability to graduate in our high school. And so that, you know, what is happening with some of the graduation requirements and some of the changes the state has made has kind of forced us to be a little bit more communicative and collaborative in nature. So I definitely think there's some challenges with it, but certainly some positives as well.
Yeah, so that's great. Anything else you guys have that you want to throw in there? When approximately is graduation? Like May 20th ish or something like that?
May 21st. Sunday, May 21st. So
yeah.
It'll be May. May's crazy. Kelly talked about May. May is it's a month long, but it feels like a day. It's
the longest but shortest. Yeah. You're not sure if you ever go home, if you ever sleep, you know, but it's a fun, exciting month for everybody. You know, there's just so much excitement, anticipation. But man, it's a whirlwind, but it's good.
Yeah. So like the elementary, are they really excited that school is getting out, or are they kind of not so excited because they won't get to see their friends for a while?
Or, I would say it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I think also part of what, when May comes around, you know, we have the 5K, we have Field Day. We just have so many different events. The kids are, you know, the weather's changing. Mm-hmm. So the kids are getting outside more. So we're just able to get out and enjoy some fresh air. But they're also picking back up in their activities. You know, our elementary kids don't have the schedules like the high school students
right.
do,
yeah.
or even the middle school.
Yeah.
So baseball, softball's picking up. So these kids are finally back in something. So
yes.
they're
yep.
just pumped. So that's just, that's May, you know. We do the wax museum. Like I said, we bring parents in for some
wax museum.
Things. Oh yeah. So our fifth graders do a wax museum in fifth grade. So they have to select a famous person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever they, yeah, you might need to come, Rocker.
I might be that famous person.
Maybe. Yeah.
Could
you know,
be.
How
did
they
be
contribute?
A little whacked.
No, no. But you know what, they have to give a speech, that highlights what this person did to contribute to our society. If it's present, past, anything like that. But then they also dress up as this person. So as parents and community members come in,
uh-huh.
you know, they go up to the student, and when a, you know, an adult comes up to them, the student then gives their brief presentation, to give a little bit of insight about this person. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a variety of characters, of people, famous people, you know, sports athletes.
So it teaches kids to do some research.
Yeah.
Which is easier now than it would have been when I was a kid, but still, it would have been really neat to do something like that.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty cool.
So they'll do the research, but they also need to make sure that they can then recite that. I mean, so they're writing their speech, so they need to make sure they understand, you know, what they read in the research, but also mm-hmm. can they turn around? You don't probably want to use a big word because a lot of these kids are pretty nervous. So you want to keep it to something that you're comfortable with, but it's a great opportunity for
So is it
kids.
Like usually a 10 or 15 second presentation or 2 or 3 minute or
it just
all depends on what they
it does depend. I would say they're probably closer to about a minute in length.
Mm-hmm.
And we just spread them out around the auditoria, and so you, as a community member, parent, staff member, you just walk up and down and you take time to listen to each fifth grade student.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
hey, Neil,
really good. Yes.
Would you mind if I asked him a question?
I would mind, but I'll let you.
I hate to be a downer, but...
No, you don't. You like it.
But
sorry, go ahead.
We've been lucky, let's say. Are we prepared for what we see in the nation as far as, like, the Patuca, the Sandy Hook, and all those kind of... Are we prepared for that kind of stuff?
I mean, you know, I don't know if a school...
That sounds more like a superintendent question,
yeah,
but you'd be at least aware of what's going on.
Well, certainly. I mean, I don't think anybody's, you know, are you ever fully prepared or know what the future holds or how things are going to play? I mean, that's a hard thing to do for anybody. But, you know, I will say we have, you know, as a school, speaking on the school we have, not necessarily a high school, but we have a good relationship with the local police, Fort Recovery Police Department officer, you know, Chief Laux does a great job.
Yep.
We actually did a safety drill just recently at a PD day back in, back in November, which was a kind of a reunification drill. That is something that we haven't done before. So kind of,
pray tell we never have to use it at all.
Exactly.
Right, absolutely.
Exactly. So, and that's a lot of that spurred through, you know, the administrative team, some feedback from the staff, police department input on some of those things of what they're seeing around the country and in law enforcement strategies and things like that. So try to train and implement and just try to make people ready and aware as best we can. So if something does happen, God forbid, we're ready to respond.
Sorry about that.
If you do go to the school, like to get tickets or do anything like that, you have to get buzzed in. You can't just walk into the school anymore. Used to be you could, and I don't like it the way it is, but I sure understand why it is, because you don't know when that, and it could be somebody local that might do something. It could be some guy that just decides he's going to drive somewhere and find a school and start shooting. You just don't know anymore. It's that the world's gone crazy, and you know, don't like the way to. We don't want that to be the the end of our of our talk today. But that's a good.
That's why I lightened up with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, because it's just one of those things that you need to be prepared for, and you've gone through the drills, and you know. When it happens, if it you know, when it happens the next time, wherever it might be, it's not going to go according to the plan, because the perpetrator isn't going to be doing it exactly any of those things that you plan for. But at least you have a good plan of how to react and what to do. So yeah, that's a really good idea.
Well, and I think one of the things that at least we've done at our district and our school is, you know, a lot of that stuff is reactive. You know, what's your plan after something like this happens? But, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about the proactive side of it. You know, we do a lot with, you know, building positive culture in the school and recognizing students for you know, doing positive, good things. And we like to get a lot of kids involved in things, as we were talking about earlier on the show, to kind of be, you know, get them part of the community. We've also partnered with, you know, Foundations Behavioral Health. They have like a school-based counselor that comes there and sees, you know, students and things like that. So being on the proactive side to prevent some of those things, we've
so worked. Let's say we can teach them how to spot something suspicious without it being, you know,
without calling in the cops.
The school safety hotline. There's an anonymous tip line and things that you can report and stuff like that. So definitely trying to be, you know, proactive as well as have a plan and stuff for when, you know, if God forbid something ever did happen.
And I think some of the proactive, I don't know if it happens every day, but I hear people talking about the in between classes or in the elementary school lunch, the principal is out there saying hi to the kids. You know, they're making them feel like they're that somebody knows who they are, instead of being some outcast that that nobody wants to be around. You want it, it's just a really good thing to just be there and say hi to them.
Yeah.
You know, even if that's all you do, sometimes if it happens to be somebody that won the spelling bee or scored some runs in a softball game or something, you can just, you know, say, hey, good job, or, you know, if you acknowledge people, they're much less likely to do something radical.
Yeah, building those relationships with students and even with staff, parents, families, it's very important. I mean, it makes our education world go around. You know, without that, it would not be enjoyable, and we would not get the results that we do get. You know, we do have a great community involvement. So again, that just goes back to those relationships. And if you don't have a relationship with the student, you know, knowing who they are, saying hi, you know, asking them about their game or their performance the night before, you know, how are you even going to reach out to the parents in the community? So it definitely starts in school. You know, but I was just going to piggyback kind of on what Tony had said, that it's at least once a year we will do some kind of drill as a staff. If it's a tabletop, if it's an, you know, like we did this year, reunification. So we were physically moving and running through a scenario. You know, so we're trying to be better about it, but like he said, you know, we can't prepare for everything because we never know. But we also, on our side of it, have some other things in place. You know, we do have quite a few cameras around our buildings. We have systems and detection monitors within our school. I'm not going to say exactly where, but you know, that can will send us alerts if it's anything from a loud noise to the smell of different products, substances. So we're trying to be equipped and be prepared.
Classroom door locking systems.
Yeah, we have the night locks. You know, so there are definitely things that we have in place that our kids probably just, it's always been there for what they know, that they think nothing different. But as outsiders who haven't been in the school and aren't specifically looking for these things, you don't know that.
You know, that's awesome, because so the kids aren't going, oh, we got to go in here and it's got this lock and it's got this. Wait, that doesn't bother them at all.
Nope.
That's perfect. That's exactly how it ought to go. So, do you both want to do a real quick run through of new things, like hit the highlights of what we talked about earlier in a minute or two. And
yeah, I can do that.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Let's go ahead and do that. And
well,
then we'll get to Rocker with his
all right,
big band
trivia,
pop culture
trivia
history.
Question. All yep. right. Yeah. No. Like I said, you know, thanks for having me on tonight, Tony Stahl, high school principal. Definitely a lot of things going on at the high school. I talked a lot about, you know, the success we had both in and outside the classroom in the fall, as well as translation, you know, into that in the winter now with scheduling season. Talked about a couple of new course offerings that we're having, and then how they tie into the new graduation class of 2023 and beyond. On graduation requirements and how, you know, we're, some of the things we're doing at the high school are trying to help, you know, offer some additional opportunities to our students to meet those. And so that's kind of been the big focus that we've had this year. Then I also talked about, you know, recognizing some students, talk about our FBLA club, raising the money for the families prior to Christmas break. Talked about some of our FFA top 10 finishes with some of their career development exams this year. Talked about the number of fall MAC all academic winners. We talked almost 50 of them this past fall. So
yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, so a lot of good things going on at high school. I would like to give a small shout out. We have, I think it's 6 students this Sunday, I think that's January 15th, participating. They were selected as part of the 2023 OMEA District 3 Honors Band and Choir. And so we had 6 students. So Mr. Knuth and Mrs. Evers West Curtis had a good chunk of students that have been accepted into that, and then they will be playing at Nyswanger Performing Arts Center
up there in Denver.
In Van Wert on I think it's this Sunday, January 15th. So I'd just like to say good luck to those students
and congratulations for the hard work
and
talent that you put into that. That's great.
Yep. And then we did have one student that will be at a later date. I think it's maybe late January, early February. Was OMEA All-State Choir finalist. So that was exciting for him. So he'll be participating there at the end of the...
Can I make a wild guess who that might be?
I think you can probably hit it.
I believe he sang some Christmas songs on our Christmas show.
Probably for you guys.
Isaac LeFevre is just...
So those things are coming up for those kids. So I wanted to recognize them and say good luck to them and best of luck this weekend and with their performances.
Yep. And you got a little quick wrap-up, Kelly?
Yeah. I think, you know, community-wise, the big thing coming up is going to be the preschool and kindergarten registration. Like I said, information will be put out with those dates and links through our Facebook page. The Fort Site Journal will also have it on our school webpage. So we'll be pushing that information out. So that's a big thing coming up. And then as far as student activities coming up, our Celebrate Reading is going to be a big one, in addition to picking up some of our performances, kind of like Tony had said, you know, the band starting to really pick up with some of those things, and then some of our spring performances for our grade levels. So we've got some exciting things coming up.
Yep, and you mentioned something that triggered something for me. You mentioned the Fort Site Journal.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys are aware that Chase Kaiser has taken on a huge project. The upcoming Fort Site Journal will be an audio version available in the Fort Recovery Radio archives, and we will be doing excerpts from it probably at the top of every hour, bottom of every hour, most of the way through the day for several weeks. So we'll be able to hear it a little bit at a time during our regular broadcast during the day. And if you want to sit down and read any or all, or listen to any or all of it, it's also going to be available there. So you'll have a hard copy in your hand that's going to be mailed to you. And I think that same day we're going to put it in our archives. There will be an audio version of it that you can go to and pull out whatever you want to listen to, or you can just play the whole thing, and then we'll do excerpts of it here on Fort Recovery Radio at either the top or the bottom of the hour, pretty much every hour of every day. So that's a big thing coming up, and he took on this giant project.
Well, he got the right guy for it.
Yes, I did.
He got the right guy.
He's just... He's amazing.
Yeah,
he's really great.
He's the man.
Yes, he is. And, you know, he's one of those kids, if you want something done, just find the busiest person you can find, and he'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, just let's take another break. We'll get to Rocker. Want to thank you guys for for coming in tonight and talking to us for an hour and a half on an hour-long show. But again, if you're tuning in for Sports Talk, they will not be on tonight. Bubba was not available, and so they'll be back next week, but not on tonight. And you guys are welcome to hang around and listen with Rocker for his This Day in Pop Culture History. Be back in just a minute or two.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat chili supper on Friday night, January 20th. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Association Scholarship Fund. Get to the Marion Local boys' basketball game early on January 20th and enjoy the FREA chili supper with all the fixins. Serving from 4:30 to 6:30. Our local Psi Iota Xi chapter will be holding their Krispy Kreme fundraiser on Friday, January 20th, after the Marion Local basketball game. They're only $10 a dozen, and you'll be the hero at breakfast on Saturday morning. Just remember to grab a dozen or two of Krispy Kreme donuts on your way home or on your way to the Booster Bash at the bowling alley that night. Psi Iota Xi's Krispy Kreme donut sale, Friday, January 20th, after the boys' basketball game with Marion Local.
Welcome back to Insight. And we've had high school principal Tony Stahl on, elementary principal Kelly Toby. And now it is time for Rocker, This Day in Pop Culture History. What's going on?
Brought to you by Hastings Auto Sales.
Oh, really? Is that where you get your car fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
We all know that's never going to happen.
No, but... You've never owed him money that you that you didn't pay him, so that's good.
No, not at least not yet.
Not yet.
1927.
Ooh.
The first.
I was guessing, in third grade.
I'm guessing a talkie. The first horror film is released, Metropolis.
Oh, well.
Not around for that one, obviously.
Nope, and I've never heard of it before.
First horror film?
Yes.
1927, huh?
Sci-fi. Sorry, sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Oh. Sci-fi.
Okay. About the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah. Yes,
I wonder what sci-fi is in 1927. Like, yeah. You know, cars are the thing. Yeah. You know, I don't know. What's, is it aliens coming? Like, you know, I don't know. That's an
sci-fi. Probably aliens.
Because when I was thinking, you know, back, they didn't really go into talkies until probably the mid-20s.
I think early 20s, early 30s, I think.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of action there. 1953, The Greatest Show on Earth is released. Starring
The
Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah, what was The Greatest Show on Earth?
Starring Charlton Heston.
Oh, a movie, Nate, with that name.
Yeah, Circus.
Yes.
Yes, I've never seen that as a
kid. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey was the greatest show on earth.
Mr. NRA himself.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
January 11th.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm whispering into the microphone.
Yeah, I don't know. You do it a lot. It's kind of creepy, but we're used to it.
1938, Morse code is put on display. 1938.
Put on display. What does that mean?
I'm just going by them. I'm guessing that's supposed to be 1838.
I'll say that feels like Morse code was
around.
Well,
I don't know what mean put on display means. Yeah.
Was way before 38.
Yeah, because they used it in the Civil War. Yeah.
I just going by them. You know, what they give me. I just.
Well, whoever they is, they need to explain more what put on display means. They may have made a museum display of Samuel F.B. Morse's first telegraph thing.
How could it be?
Might be it. Or it might have been something else.
It's the Morse code. I know.
Okay.
That's all you can do with that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Do you know what you just said when you did those?
Not really.
You said, thank you very much. That's not true at all. I have no idea.
1949. Thank God.
Hey, I was born that year.
First network station opens in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Was it KDKA?
Does
it say?
No.
That was the first radio station that was in Pittsburgh.
That might have been it.
But that, I'm guessing they might have just been the first TV station, too.
Do I even want to do area birthdays?
Yeah. Yeah, so we can make fun of you. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love this one, then.
Good.
Today's birthday, Ben Bonvillain.
Ben, which one is
cousin.
He? Yeah, but I've heard of him. But.
Bonvillain. He was he's a cop in, I think, in Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Good gig.
Yeah.
Thursday, we got Beth Rammel.
All right. Happy birthday, Beth.
At least there's something going on there.
Yeah.
It's like Jack's back.
So, got any other?
We got the citizen of the day. You ready for this one?
I am. I probably won't make fun of you like Bob and Harold always do.
This was Ivo Wendell.
Oh. Happy Citizens of the Day to Ivo. He's awesome. Did you know he's retired?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been retired for a couple years.
He's good to go.
Yes, he is.
Hey, celebrity birthday time.
Ooh.
Oh, this is good. This is a good list.
Is this a Kennedy?
No.
Is Kennedy on there?
No, we do both days. So we do Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Yesterday was Crystal Gayle's birthday. Good old
Crystal Gayle, is that what you said?
Yes. 72.
Oh.
Awesome. Gayle's the longest hair in history.
In history? That's pretty good.
Wow. Two bottles of Perel and that stuff.
Really?
Huh. Is it Perel or what?
Perel. Yeah, Perel is one of them. I haven't seen it in the store in 30 years, but I don't use much shampoo in case you didn't know that.
Absolutely not. You and Jack both.
Yeah. I still have a bottle from 1988. It's almost empty.
About a dime size at a time.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, Clark. H.K. Simmons is 68.
Well, I don't know who that is.
He's the one who does the
Allstate
Farmers.
Oh, okay.
Insurance.
And he was he did some movies too, didn't
he? Yeah, he's a good character actor.
He's also a guy who probably doesn't use a lot of shampoo.
No, he's got the same hairstyle.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band, 56.
So Dave Matthews is 56?
Yes.
Of Dave Matthews Band? Okay.
Not just Dave.
Dave's 50, yeah. 56.
Yeah. No, you said Dave Matthews Band.
Well, that's...
That's what I was hoping you were alluding to. I just wanted to clarify for our loyal listeners, if they're still with us.
Ages me.
Oh, yeah. Are you two Dave Matthews fans?
Yeah, I like Dave Matthews.
I went to some concerts in college. Yeah. Good times.
Hopefully not in Chicago.
Why?
I don't think he's very popular in Chicago.
Why, did he say something nasty about him?
His bus, don't you remember his bus dumped a bunch of the number two in the
Oh, no.
Lake?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that ended up being a photo. They fired the driver on that one.
Hmm. Oh, well.
Rapper Sean Paul is 50.
Oh, well.
Boy.
Wow. I've never heard of him either.
I'm disadvantaged here either. And
I've heard of Sean Combs.
P. Diddy?
Yeah. That's not the same guy, is it?
That guy has more nicknames than I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Today's birthday, so we can rush a bit a little bit.
Okay.
Mary J. Blige is 52.
Well, I haven't been to any of her concerts.
She was just in the Super Bowl, wasn't she, last year? Super Bowl?
Might have been.
Wasn't she?
Might have been.
She still looks good.
Yeah, Super Bowl, last year, Super Bowl.
And actress Amanda Peet is 51. She's big in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then crickets.
Took her money and stayed home.
Got out of Dodge.
Got the heck out of Dodge before it got crazy. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, that wasn't a lot to make fun of. Can you make up some more stuff or something?
Well, are you a big horror fan, Tony?
Me? No, I'm not a horror.
Or sci-fi, I guess.
It may be more sci-fi than horror, but not really either. I don't like scary movies.
So I kind of lump them together.
Yeah, they can be.
Because, you know, my brother, he was a Star Trek fan. Because I used to make fun of him for that, and I used to make fun of him for watching James Bond, because I ended up being a bigger fan of that than he was.
I agree. James Bond, good movies.
The last few.
I think some of the older ones are better.
Yeah. The Connery years, definitely.
Pierce Bronson.
Yeah, he was good.
I thought those were pretty good ones, too. Not a Daniel Craig Bond guy, though.
I didn't mind him.
I thought they were okay.
I just watched, Sunday night I watched Fletch for the first time.
Oh,
Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Fletch, solid flick.
Was it good?
Well, I don't, because I think I waited too long to watch it. So, same with Risky Business. I waited too long to watch it.
What does that mean?
I mean, it means that I should have been, like, Revenge of the Nerds.
You'd have seen it sooner? Or it doesn't date very well?
It doesn't, yeah, well, that too.
Okay.
Nothing dates very well today if you go by the, you know, today's standards.
Yep.
That's why Smoking a Bandit and Blazing Saddles would not be made today.
No, I don't think they could do that.
Especially Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Just to think, they almost had a TV show out after that.
Blazing Saddles almost had
a TV show? Yeah, it was like a boot pilot.
A spin-off or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't quite work out so well.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah,
probably. Anything else?
I think we're good.
Well, we're about done here.
Yeah.
Anything else anybody wants to throw in about anything, just random stuff? There is no sports talk tonight, so
that's why we're babbling.
Yeah. No, I'm good. Thanks for having us on tonight, Neil.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming in and giving us information and having the nerve to hang around and harass Rocker.
No problem. One time we did a song trivia on here. We'll have to bring that back next time. Well, that was kind of
Well, let's see. Right. See if I have anything still hanging around.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Come up with. Maybe.
Do you have a famous person?
Rocker can kind of tell you what you're just about any famous person died.
I was pretty impressed with off-air the Princess Diana one. That was pretty impressive. That was mine.
Yeah, but that was on a holiday, and a lot of stuff been talked up recently about her. But
what about
a lot of people?
George Washington. When did George Washington die? Date in the year.
Ooh.
Well, I don't do well with that far back, but I know it's 1799.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe
it was.
No, not even right.
I was thinking it was a little before.
That's when he went into office.
So, no, 1789 is when he went into office.
So.
And so he'd have been 8 years after that. Would be
like 1820 something?
No. He died before 1800, I believe. Let's just take a little look at that one.
Either way, we know he's hard as a carp.
Yes. Yeah, he has passed away.
He's been on ice for quite a while.
Okay, he was... Okay.
Are we looking for the date?
Yeah. Died
December 14th?
1799.
You're
right. Yep. I think you said 1799.
10 years after then you changed, inaugurated.
Yeah, then you changed it to 1789. Yeah, so, December 14th.
That's
now,
impressive.
There were two people who signed the original Declaration of Independence that died on the same day. Do you know who they were?
Yes, I do. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Yep. And do you know what day that was?
July 4th.
Of what year? 1826. Exactly 50 years to the day of when they signed the Declaration of Independence. And each one of them, they knew the other one wasn't in very good shape, and each one of them wanted to outlive the other one. And they both made it to the...
Because they were kind of rivals.
Yes, right? They were.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah, they were. You know, we look at them as you know, great founders, and everybody agreed on everything. No, that was... Our country was built on absolute crazy compromise that maybe would be more radical compromising than people saw last week in the...
The speaker fight.
Everybody went, everybody was compromising their stuff. You have to stand fast on your principles.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't how this country was made.
Yeah.
It was made on absolute 100% just compromising on as much as you could to get to the goal. And that's how things need to be in the last 20 years. Politicians are trained not to compromise on anything. Hold fast on this and never, ever waver on any of your things. Instead of giving a little here, giving a little there, somebody gets what they want, somebody gets almost what they want, somebody had to kind of give up theirs so that next time when their idea comes along, these people owe you some things, and everybody gets stuff done. But that's our government's kind of gotten into a stalemate. Well, I'm through with that. So George Washington, I think you said 1799 first, then changed it to when he was inaugurated. But that was you're good. You guys have another one you want to throw at him? Anybody kind of?
Freddie Mercury.
Let's say that was in June of 91. I know it was 91. I'm thinking June 15th.
We're checking her out. Oh, boy. let's see. Died November 24th of 1991.
Way off.
No, you had the right year.
That's pretty good.
And that was one in your lifetime, but... So let's see. Let's think of one in, that wasn't in your lifetime. Dwight Eisenhower.
69. I'm thinking October.
Let's see here. Well, for some reason, there we go. It finally came up. Died in March of 1969. But you got the year.
3 for 3 on that.
I would have gotten within 3 or 4 years, but I wouldn't. It would have been a lucky guess if I got the right year. So, yes, I do. Whatever you're going to say, yes.
Do you want the real one? Remember the whole Jackie thing?
Yeah.
So,
this is something that happened on Breakfast with Bill, I think. Is that the one you're going to talk about?
Jackie's sister, I think, died that day.
Yeah, died her birthday or something.
And, of course, Bill,
he always gets excited when Rocker brings up anything about Kennedys. He gets mad.
He says, well, when was when did Jackie Kennedy die? May 1994.
And who else died that day?
That was Sammy and Jimmy Henson.
Oh, okay.
That was in 90.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, that same year, or that's about a month before Jackie died, was Richard Nixon.
Oh.
It was May 13th.
Yeah. So the one that, there was one that Bill was asking about, And of course, Bill got everybody all mixed up. So yeah, I don't remember how it all went. But he said, so when did that guy die? Yeah, such and such, the same day as Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, I have.
And of course, I'm over here clicking on the computer trying to find all this stuff, man. And he's never wrong. Yeah. He's always got it. So, well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you guys for coming in. Thanks, Rocker, for bringing us our.
How many people did we put to sleep with that?
Our new thing doesn't show me how many listeners.
I'm like Kid Ambien.
I don't know what that is.
Ambien's like puts you to sleep.
Oh,
better than white noise, huh?
Yeah.
Better than white noise.
Yeah.
I like white noise. So, thanks everybody for listening. No sports talk tonight, and we will be back next week with Insight. I have a couple of very possible guests, and
Bob Hope.
We won't.
Oh, big one.
Harold and Bubba will be back next week, but then they'll be off the next week or two after that because they're going to Florida. So thanks for listening. And if you missed anything or want to hear it all again, it will be in the archives. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.